Good morning and good afternoon again. God bless everyone. Praise the Lord. This is day three of our convocation week. And today, I will restore, saith the Lord. Father, I thank you because as we are gathered together, we expect a reward, Lord, and we receive it. And it will bring light into our lives and give understanding as well. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and we give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to speak today on this day three of our convocation week on God's promise to restore. And what God does for us is going to be more like total recovery. I mean, not partial. Because whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. Nothing can be taken from it or added to it. But the Lord does it. And he does it well. Whatever he does it well. There's a couple of stories that I'm going to share real quick, and then we're going to pray and declare this restoration and this recovery for every one of us that's in here. Praise the Lord. A story that I love very well that I've shared from time to time, but goes right with this lesson today. It's first of the two stories that I will share, maybe two or three stories. But this first one, taken out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to read just a few verses there. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were there. They didn't slay any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. He's going to inquire the Lord now. And Abiathar brought forth the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you will recover all. Hallelujah. Well, that's what we want to talk about today. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, and those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind. They were so faint that they could not go over the brook, you know, and so on and so forth. And it came to pass, let's just jump to verse 17 here. We jumped to verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, except 400 young men which rode on camels and fled. And David recovered all, hallelujah, that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they are taking to them. David recovered all. Hallelujah. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Praise the Lord. Not only did he recover all, he got him some extra as well. He got a lot of spoil. You know, and when they had taken away and the Amalekites came and smote the place where they lived while they were out fighting with the, alongside the Philistines and so forth, these people came back. They found their city smitten, burnt with fire, everything taken. And they lamented and cried and wept until there was no more strength in them to weep. And all the people, they murmured against David because it was him they followed to a battle which they thought did not even belong to them anyway. And so they thought they were going to stone him. They began to speak that we're going to stone this man. What has happened to us? And David turned unto the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. That's one thing I love about David. He knew how to say, my soul, why art thou cast down within me? Why art thou disquieted within me? And he would tell his soul, he'd say, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he knew how to do that. We can read all of that in Psalm 42. When he faced this kind of distress, and everybody thought they, spoke of stoning him, and he would cry out to the Lord, oh my soul, he said. He would even talk to himself, why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then he will turn to the Lord too. He will speak to himself. Then he will turn to the Lord. And say, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. But I will remember you from the land of Jordan. And of the Harmonites and from the hill Mizar. For the deep calleth unto the deep. And he will remember the great things that the Lord has done before. And this man, he always knew how to call to remembrance. The things that the Lord had done, and used that to encourage himself for the present conflict. And he came up against, or went up against Goliath, or was about to go up against Goliath, when everybody else said, you can't do it. And David said, well, but of course, I can do it. Because the Lord, he delivered me from the hand of the lion, the paw of the lion, the hand of the bear, and all of these things. He will deliver even this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand on this day. So I kept my father's sheep. And a lion came in there and took something that was mine. And I went after him and recovered it. Hallelujah. Likewise, a bear. He came and took something that was mine. One of the flock. And I went after him. And I recovered all. Hallelujah. Now, he knew how to recover. Praise the Lord. Well, we should take a cue and learn from this man, David. He would not give in an inch and let the devil take what was his. He was going to go after. If the devil took anything, he's going to go after. And in this story of Ziklag, he inquired of the Lord. Because my goodness, this is something. But he remembered, he also remembered, look, I have been there. The lion, it took something from me. I went after him. I got it back. The bear took something from me. I went after him and I got it back. How do you get into a hand-to-hand combat with a lion or a bear and come out on top? Well, because, you know that the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. David said, look, even when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, you go in there, this lion's taking this prey, and you go after him, and lion turns and looks at you, you are in the valley of the shadow of death. Because, That lion is not going to give up that prey. You come and get that thing from a lion, you're going to have to take it at the jeopardy of your life. But David said, well, one way or another, I'm going to recover that which is mine. And he did too. Praise God. I don't know what happened to him. You know, he might have got a few scars. And someone might have said, where'd you get those scars? Well, you know, lion, you know, took something that was mine and went after it. When he came back home, I said, wow. And you recovered? Well, absolutely. I said, wow. And let's look at those guys. Oh, you should have seen the other guy. David, one time I was thinking about it. And I saw it in my mind how that happened. Praise the Lord. And the devil might have taken something from you. But today, the Lord said, I will restore. Before I read you the another story of restoration, let us read the promise of restoration from Joel chapter 2. And this man, Joel, you know, he was one that was used to prophesying what the Lord would do. He was the one that prophesied that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, you know, they will, being filled with the Holy Spirit, they will prophesy. The young men will see visions. The old men will dream dreams. You know, and upon my servants and handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. Now this Joel, he knew how to prophesy such things. Well, let's see what again he prophesied. In the book of Joel chapter 2, let's begin to read it from verse 23. Praise the Lord. Prophesied some restoration from the Lord. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Hallelujah. And he said, rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain moderately, but he will now cause down to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain together in the first month. Well, usually that doesn't happen. You know, there is the planting rain, sometimes many months in between before the harvesting rain comes. But he said, this time around, Lord will pour it down to you, double it up the same month. Glory to God. The floors shall be full of wheat and the fads shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, even the great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You shall praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Take note of that. My people shall never be ashamed. Well, are you one of his people? Well, then you shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord in the midst of you. In the midst of you, that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. You know, sometimes when the Lord says that twice like that, like Jesus, when he will be talking to a crowd, he will say, verily, verily. You know, when he says it twice like that, so bring emphasis. My people shall never be ashamed. And he said, look, I will restore to you. So consider the things that the cankerworm, the caterpillar and the palmerworm, and even the locust might have eaten. Lord said, I will restore and you shall recover all. Praise God. Well, let me talk about total recovery. Hallelujah. You know, there is such a thing as partial recovery. And then there is such a thing as total recovery. That's right. Partial recovery is, well, you know, just like the word says, it's partial. You get back some, but not all. I mean, you know, you have some wounds, you are healed, but, you know, scars all over the place. Total recovery is complete restoration, and there shall be no remembrance of the Lord's. Hallelujah. You know, no remembrance. The Lord would do it completely. No evidence that there was ever a loss. He would do it. He would erase it. He would bring it. Everything full circle. And you'll be like it never happened. Glory to God. Well, it takes tremendous faith to believe that. You know, but, well, that's what the Lord said. You have to kind of understand how the Lord works. You have to understand that the Lord, you know, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. I mean, if you believe the Lord can restore what you lost, then he can do beyond that. He can do it in such a way as if it never happened. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord, I mean, he gave us examples. I'm going to read you another story in a bit. But the Lord himself, you know, one time when Lazarus was sick unto death, they called for him and said, your friend is sick. And he did not even respond. I was like, well, you know, he just stayed a couple more days in the same place, waited until the man died. But he did tell the disciples. He said, this sickness is not unto death. And so he left it like that. And then a few days later, a message came to him that the man had died. And just think of how the minds and hearts of the disciples would have sunk. And they would have thought, but you said this sickness is not unto death. But now the man died. What's up with that? And Jesus told them, well, I am glad that for your sakes I was not there. Because I need you to see something which you hadn't seen before. I'll show you something new. Hallelujah. And if they're thinking in their heads, well, you know, I don't know. He said if the man will not die, but now the man died. So what is it? Well, the Lord, when he finally got to the grave of Lazarus, he's going to change all that. He's going to make it look like it never happened. Because if he said it's not going to happen and it happened, he's going to reverse it and be like it never happened. Don't be like the man never died. Gonna bring him back out of that grave. Don't matter how long he's been in that grave, 4 days stinking or whatever. He gets there, he's gonna call him out of there. Glory to God, because the word of God must sustain itself. You know, if the Lord gave you a promise that he's going to recover, I mean, you're gonna recover all and he will restore to you. And, you know, the things that the devil has taken, no matter what it looks like now. And, you know, just think about it. What is it that the devil has taken from you that the Lord gave you? The Lord might have given you a good job at one time. Now the devil's taking it from you. The Lord might have given you this and that and so forth. And you lost it. Or maybe you even lost it through whatever. Maybe errors on your own side. Maybe foolishness. Maybe whatever. We lost anything. It doesn't matter. The Lord said, look, I will restore, you know, what the enemy had taken. And you will recover all. Now, there are many promises in the Bible towards that, you know, effect. Sometimes we've lost our joy, the joy of salvation and so forth, because of the pummelings and the batterings of the devil. Because Pharaoh has said, let there be more burdens laden upon these people so that they will not have time to worship the Lord. And so, you know, the stress and the pushing against us from the devil and all the things that he does can make us to even lose our joy in the Lord. But here's a promise, a point blank promise in Isaiah 35 and verse 10. And also Isaiah 51 and verse 11. And I love the one in 51:11 better. So let me read that one. And there's a song we sing out of that. It says that the ransomed of the Lord will return, you know, unto their own place. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, saith the Lord. I'm he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the son of man which shall be made as grass, or be afraid of any situation that you are in currently? And forgettest the Lord thy maker that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the earth, the foundations of the earth, by myself? I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. And every day you have feared continually because of the fury of the oppressor, because of the burden of the Assyrian. You know, as if you are ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? Because it's broken, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. During this convocation, we will be invoking the promises of the Lord, such as today, we'll be invoking the breaker anointing that will break every yoke, that will break the bands of wickedness, that we unloose all those bands, unloose and undo the heavy burdens, that will set the people free. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord said, you will recover all. Praise the Lord. There's a story I want to tell you again. This story is in 2 Kings chapter 8. And this woman, you know, you're going to see her story. I've told it many times, even as recently as perhaps last week or the other week. But it goes with this lesson. You know, there was this woman that was always, you know, being kind to Elisha and so forth. You know, and you know the story, how she had set a table for him, created a small room for him, you know, always made him have a place to stay when he passed by that place and so on. You know, and so, and the woman, you know, her son, whom Elijah, by the grace of God, had prophesied the birth of that child, because the woman had tried many times, they couldn't have a child. The woman lost her son. One day, the boy died. And yet the woman said, it is well. And took him to the prophet. I mean, went and called the prophet and so on. And the man said, wow, something is troubling this woman. The Lord has not shown it to me. And he went there and found that the son was dead. And of course, he raised the son back to life. You know the story and all that. Anyway. This same woman, one day, because of all the kindness that she had shown to the prophet said to her, you know, arise and go thou and thy household and sojourn wherever you can. For the Lord had called for a famine and it's going to be very sore upon the land for 7 years. You know, so the man gave her insight and gave her advice and instruction. You know, get out of here, because if you stay here, this famine will be too strong for you. So go find some other place where the famine might not be that bad and stay there for 7 years. It's going to be 7 years. It will be so sore upon the land. So the woman arose, did after the saying of the man of God, and she went and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, in the meantime, she lost all she had, but she abandoned it. One time, you know, when the man of God was asking his servant to ask her, what would this woman want us to do for her? She's shown us all this great kindness. Would she be spoken of to the king, or what is it that she wants? The woman said, no, I have my own place. I dwell in the midst of my own people. I've got my own land. I've got all of this and that. I'm satisfied and content. So she had a lot of stuff. She wasn't asking for anything. You know, she had land, she had house, she had everything, a lot of stuff. You know, but, you know, she said, look, I got all these things, so I don't need anything. Well, when she left and went away for 7 years, she lost it all. Because the government came in there, took over the land because it was abandoned. And so one day after the famine was over, she kept checking. 7 years had passed. And she's thinking in her head, well, I'm going to return to my place. By this time, I know the land and my property and everything is gone because that, you know, that's the way it was. You know, king would have taken it over and so on. So she undertook her journey to go from the land of the Philistines, you know, back to go and ask in Israel for her place. And it came to pass that the Lord arranged that meeting, that this woman would arrive at the king's place the very moment that Elisha's servant was toiling about a woman whom Elisha had raised her son from the dead. You know the story. And when she came, you know, the impact was so great because the man said, well, I was just telling you, this is the woman I was just telling you about. And she was right there in the court. And then he said, the king asked her, are you the woman? And is this your son whom Elisha restored to life? And she said, yes, it is me. And yes, this is he. And the king appointed her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers. Hallelujah. Now that's all. A-L-L. From the day that she left the land until now, and all the fruits of the land. You know, and when the government took it over, even during the famine, the government had resources. You know, they plowed the land, they changed it, they made it, they turned it actually into a fruitful land, more fruitful than she had it before. And the king said, calculate everything. And they had records too. Calculate everything that would have come out of that place and restore it all to her. Glory to God. From the day she left until now, be like she never lost anything. Yes, that's recovering all. That's the power of restoration from the Lord. That's the power of recovery from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there are stories, more stories in the Bible and so forth, but let me give you a couple more promises, and then we're going to pray. That's right. Did you know that even, you know, in the world to come, the Lord is going to do great things for us? Revelation 21 give you something to look forward to. But the way I see it, let me read it to you first and I'll tell you something. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. This is God restoring things back to the original state. There was supposed to have been no such thing as death if Adam would have stayed with the commandment. Because the Lord gave them a warning too. The day that you break this commandment and eat that thing I tell you not to eat, you shall surely die. So if they hadn't done it, hadn't broken that commandment, they would not have died. And the Lord is going to restore it. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, listen to this statement and think about it for a minute. Now, he didn't say, behold, I make new things. That's not what he said. What he says here is, behold, I make all things new. It's not the same as, behold, I make new things. Well, he can make new things, but he doesn't say, behold, I make all things new. but he can also make all things new. That means thing that was broken, something, you know, that had been degraded from the intended original state, God will make it all new. There's a story in Jeremiah chapter 18. And so this covers physical, material, and even spiritual, this lesson today. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee there to hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and behold, I found the potter was rotting he was doing a work on the wheels. He was making pottery. That's what he did. And while he looked, Jeremiah was looking and said, "Well, what is it the Lord's going to show me here?" Because the Lord didn't exactly tell him what he was going to show him. Just said, "Go there. Now I will show you something when you get there." And he looked, and the vessel that the potter made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. As the potter was making the clay, he got messed up in his hands. That's what marred means. And this man, potter, he knew his, trade. I mean, he knew how to do this thing. But this particular time around, I mean, the thing called getting bent out of shape. And he would do it one way or the other. The thing was just not working. All right. So what did he do? What did the potter do? Did the potter throw away the lump and start over with another lump? No. The potter, we are told, made it again. Another vessel, even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. He took the whole same old clay that was messed up and then made it again. You can call that a Holy Ghost do-over or makeover. Hallelujah. And then Lord can take something that's messed up and make it again, something new. And that's called, "I will restore," saith the Lord. What was in his mind was something beautiful to start with. And the devil come in there, messed it up. You know, Adam and Eve had something beautiful. The devil come in there, messed it up. And the Lord said, "I will restore." Hallelujah. And in the final state that we read in Revelation 21, he will restore a new state, a new, say, "I make all things new." Even he will refine the heaven and the earth that's been polluted by the devil. The Lord will refine it, make all things new. But we're not going to sit here and just be looking forward to heaven or new heaven and new earth while we languish here. I mean, what kind of thing is that? Why would we be here and the Lord promising us, I'm going to take you to heaven, I'm going to do all of these things. You will not be having any more sorrow, any more death, any more pain, and so forth. No more sickness. Because all the former things are passed away when you get there. Well, that's great. But if he's going to promise us that and can't take care of us now, how do we know that that's going to happen? The Bible calls even the Holy Spirit that we have now, the Bible calls him earnest of the full redemption. The Holy Spirit that we have now is a token. It's a down payment. Hallelujah. Like called him, in Ephesians 4:30, it was sealed unto the day of redemption. It's a token. It's an earnest. This is the guarantee that God is able to take care of us by giving us the Holy Spirit now. It is the guarantee of the future promises by giving us that Holy Spirit now. So let's not only be thinking that it's only when we get to heaven that, we will not have any more pain? Well, we know that. But is the Lord able to heal us now? You know, can he do it? Can he take care of us now? Can he give us, can he fulfill the promise that he has promised, that he's able to restore health unto us? You know, Jeremiah 30 and 17, can the Lord do that which he has promised? Well, how do we know that he's able to do it? Well, you read again in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. What the Lord has given us is called the earnest of the redemption. You know, you pay earnest money, it's like good faith money, it's a down payment, and so on and so forth. You know, it says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It was talked about sealed until the day of redemption in Ephesians 4:30, and he's talking about it again here. He said, be ye sealed with that Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of what Christ already purchased for us. You know, so this is the proof that he can give us all those things that he promised that we read in Revelation 21 and so forth. You know, the proof, I can do it right now. Even right now, said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, we're not going to need any healing when we get to heaven, because he said the former things are passed away. Now is when we need healing. Praise God. Now is when we need recovery. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. The Lord said, I will restore. Hallelujah. Again, that's that same word, restoration. I will restore unto you health, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord has many promises in the Bible like these for us, that he is able to take and make old things new. Behold, I make all things new. And he's able to even do new things. He can do them both. He can do brand new things. And he can also take something that's messed up and make it new. Hallelujah. Praise God. And thank God that he didn't do away with all of us, but he decided to make us anew. He made the lump new again as he pleased him. And he said, can I not do to you even as this potter has done to this clay, O house of Israel? You started out as a good thing and you got messed up in my hands. And I'm going to make it again into a new lump, even as it pleased me, saith the Lord. Yeah, can I not do that? The Lord has given us many promises. And sometimes the promises linger. It seems as if, we don't know. Why am I still sick? Why am I still losing things? Why are all these things, bad things still happening? And so on and so forth. But the Lord says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And ye will recover all. Now, we got to believe that promise. You have to sign. This is the way I love to say when I talk about the promises of God. You have to sanctify the word in your heart. The word of promise. You have to sanctify it in your heart. You know, some people, when they heard the word of promise back in the day, they did not believe. It was not mixed with faith in their heart. So it did them no good. But the scripture says, well, what if some did not believe? There's always going to be people that don't believe. But on the other hand, there's always going to be people that do believe. But what if some did not believe? What shall we say there? Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. Well, if the Lord promised something and some people don't believe it or did not attend to it, does that make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's right. You know, so the word of God, we can't judge the word of God by people, other people's lives. And the devil will say, well, you see, they did not recover from their sickness. And they are, you know, they're also believers. They believe God just like you. In fact, you know, they walk with God closer than you. And they did not recover. And what makes you think that you will recover? You will not recover. Everything you lost, it's gone. Can't have it. I mean, look at those people. They lost everything. Did they get it back? No. You will never get yours back either. Yeah, these are all the things that the devil will say, you know, and try to get you off track from the word of God. But you must stand on the word. Let God be true and every other situation be a lie. God's word said it, and I believe it, and I'm to stand with it. And the Lord said, I will recover. You know, what is it that you need recovery for today? Is it health? Huh? We got our brother James in the fighting for his dear life and the bed of languishing, you know. But the Lord said, I will restore health unto you. Doctors said one thing or the other, you know, and situation is, you know, some situation getting worse before it got better. But we are standing on the word of God. Praise the Lord. You will remember this story very well of the children of Israel. When God said, I have come down to set you free. I am come down. The Lord said, look, I have seen the affliction of my people Israel, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I'm now come down to deliver them. Now therefore go unto them and say this and that and that. Well, it was supposed to be deliverance from their sufferings, but their sufferings actually got worse. Because when Moses appeared before Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me and so forth. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should let his people go? You people are idle. You are idle. That's why you say you want to go and serve the Lord. Well, you turn to the taskmasters. This was the same taskmasters that the Lord was trying to deliver them from. And Pharaoh turned to those same taskmasters and say, make their situation worse. In the past, you gave them straw to make bricks. Give them nothing. Let them go find it for themselves. And the tailor bricks must diminish nothing. And nothing will be less that they must bring, that they used to bring, even when you gave them provision. This time around, give them no provision. Let them go find it themselves. But yet, you must diminish nothing from all that they are supposed to bring. So their situation actually got worse. And he told the taskmasters, put more burden upon them. Let there be more burden laden upon them, because they are idle. And then the people said, but you said the Lord said he wants to deliver us. Why is our situation worse? They cried against Moses. See what you have done now. And on and on and on, their situation got worse. And even when they finally came out of Egypt, their situation got even worse. I mean, every step of the way, seemingly, it looked like it got worse. But God had a plan. God had a plan to get rid of all those Egyptians. So it made their situation look worse. They came up against the Red Sea, and they thought in their hearts, we're doomed. I mean, it were better for you to have left us in Egypt. We'll die in peace. People will bury us there. Now we're going to die in the midst of this Red Sea. Nobody will even remember us. Nobody will bury us. But God had a plan. And even when they crossed the Red Sea, it was always one thing or the other. it looked like their situation always getting worse. Now they have no water to drink. And even when they found water, it was bitter water. I mean, it was always one thing or the other. Always look as if the situation got worse before it got better. But the Lord, he promised, I'm going to bring you out and take you to the promised land. But they did not sanctify that word of promise. And they said, we are not going to do it. We can't get there. There's too many stuff on the way. Situation is worse. Well, what if some did not believe? Those that did not believe didn't go anywhere. But the Lord, the word of the Lord will be revealed and fulfilled anyway. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray over the room with a word of promise today. There is something that the Lord promised us is recovery. And every promise of the Lord, every word of the Lord that the Lord has spoken, which we have said in our hearts or minds, the word of the Lord is delayed. He said, I will do better, but I'm doing worse. He said, I will emerge, but situation gets broken. Why did he say I will emerge and then I lose my job? Why did he say, I will emerge and then I lose my mortgage or this and that? You know, why did he say I will emerge and then, you know, this bad thing happened to me or happened to my, you know, family or this and that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me invoke the word of the Lord on here today. Praise the Lord. Because the word of the Lord that he has spoken, it will come to pass. I'm going to read to you and then we're going to pray with that scripture. I'm going to pray with that scripture. I'm going to invite you to also join me. In the book of Ezekiel, you know, chapter 12, I'm going to read a few verses for us. Just two verses that I'm interested in there. But let me start from verse 21. And the word of the Lord came. Remember, this is a fasting day. We must read the scriptures. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? In other words, I mean, everything that the Lord had promised, we can't seem to get a hold of that promise. And all the words are failing. The prophecies are not coming to pass. The vision are failing. And this is the proverb that they had. And the Lord said, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. This proverb that says the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But you say unto them, the days are at hand, saith the Lord, and the effect of every vision. Amen. Woo-hoo. For there shall be no more any vain vision of flattering divination in the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. And this is the one verse 25 and 28 that I'm interested in. I'm going to read them all. For I am the Lord, and I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, he called them a rebellious house, because they would not sanctify the word of the Lord. But nevertheless, word of the Lord will come to pass. In your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will also perform it, saith the Lord God. Well, let's not be like a rebellious house. Let the Lord not call us rebellious. Let the Lord say, these are the ones that believe my word. See as how these people sanctify my word in their heart. Say to the angel, do you see how that my daughter is believing my word and speaking it and standing by it? He said, yeah, we see. He said, well, now you go down there and make sure it comes to pass as she is believing. For there shall be a performance. You know, blessed is she that believes. Hallelujah. For there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken to her of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. You know, are you a believer in the air this morning? Do you believe the word of God? You know, and I want to say to our sisters that are in here that are struggling, you know, this is point blank for you. You know, I want to say to you, you know, that you lost your job, you're waiting. I want to say to you that you lost something in the family, they're waiting. The Lord said, blessed is she that believed. In Luke 1 and 45, but there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Now, blessed is he that believed also. And blessed are they that believe. Hallelujah. For there shall be a performance of those things in their lives that have been told them of the Lord. Did the Lord tell you you will emerge? Well, blessed are you if you believe. For there shall be a performance of those things. Has the Lord said today that I will restore unto you, saith the Lord? Well, blessed are you when you believe. For there shall be a performance of those things that the Lord has said. And going back to finish this reading in Ezekiel chapter 12. The Lord called them out because of the hardness of their hearts. But they would not believe with all their heart the word of the Lord. And they keep saying, well, he has promised it, but we don't see it. It seems like, you know, just delayed, delayed, delayed. And the Lord said, there shall be no more delay. That's it. No more delay. The proverb that you have used and said in your heart that, you know, the effect of every vision is vain and it's not coming to pass and that which the Lord has promised and so on and so forth. The Lord said, I'm going to change all that. Hallelujah. I will speak now and it shall be done. Hallelujah. Again, the word of the Lord came unto him and said to him, you know, the house of the Lord, the children of Israel, they say the vision that you have seen is for many days. And he prophesied of times afar off. All this emerging, all this quantum leap stuff. You know, we don't see anything. You know, we don't know that, you know, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But the Lord said, therefore say unto them, Ezekiel 12 and 28, God saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. I'm going to invoke this today. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. And that speedily. Hallelujah. The Lord will make no tarrying. I'm going to call upon the Lord today that he will make no tarrying. Hallelujah. And that he will watch over that word to perform it. The zeal of the Lord will perform it in your life. So, ladies and gentlemen, the promise for today, this day three of our convocation week, is a promise of restoration. What is it that you have lost that you are believing the Lord for? Some people even lost their marriage. They are believing the Lord for it. They lost this, they lost that. You know, whatever it is you lost, whatever it is the enemy stole from you, your peace and your joy. You know, God forbid that you even lost, you know, a child to the world, they've gone astray. Well, they will come back, saith the Lord. Because the Lord always said, look, I will restore. Didn't matter where they've been. Didn't matter where they are right now. The Lord says, I will restore. Praise the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and verse 16. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears. For thy work over these children, you've labored, your work shall be rewarded. You have followed the word of God that said, train up the child in the way that he should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. But now they have departed. And it looks like this word of God is vain. But the Lord said, I will restore, saith the Lord. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope at the latter end, saith the Lord, that thy children who have gone astray from the paths where you raised them in, they will come again from the land of the enemy back to their own border. Hallelujah. There are many promises of restoration in this Bible. Anything that devil has taken from you in any which way, I will restore, saith the Lord, and you shall recover all. But you must ask the Lord, what shall I pursue at this time, or shall I forbear? And the Lord will give you strategy, you know, how you should go, where you should go. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you. Hallelujah. And I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Only be not like the mule or the horse that you have to jerk around with bricks and beetle in their mouth. You know, let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, lead and just yield to his leading. Shall be well with you. Praise the Lord. The Lord will give you inspiration of the Almighty that will help to bring back that recovery. Hallelujah. It will show you things that you have never seen before in order for his word to come to pass. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do in order to bring his word to pass. The story, you know, many stories of what God has done, you know, that it might be fulfilled, the word of the Lord, that it might come to pass. Praise the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 7, the prophet said, hear ye the word of the Lord. By this time tomorrow, there shall be a measure of fine flour sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And there had been a sore famine. There was nothing. This was a ridiculous prophecy to make. Well, one man said, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, can this thing be? Well, man of God said, well, because you have not sanctified the word of the Lord in your heart, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat thereof. And truly, he saw it with his eyes and did not eat thereof, because people pushed him down in the stampede when they were rushing to go and spoil the camp of the Syrians. But what is it that the Lord did in order for that word to come to pass that the prophet said? In order for that word to come to pass, there were 4 leprous men that the Lord used. And he made their footsteps sound like thunderous hoofs. Thunderous hoofs of horses and chariots and different things. They were just 4 lepers. They said when they fell to the camp of the Syrians fled because God gave them an illusion. A delusion spirit came upon them. They thought they were hearing chariots and horses and thunderous hoofs coming. There were just 4 lepers coming. And God did all of that so that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Elisha might be fulfilled. So, let us pray. Ladies and gentlemen, I have delivered the word today that the Lord will restore. Now, in order for that word that we have spoken to come to pass, there is nothing God cannot do in order to make that word come to pass. Behold, saith the Lord, my words shall no longer be prolonged, but I have spoken it, and I will hasten it to perform it. I will restore unto you the things that the enemy has taken, even the years the cankerworm, the locust, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm has eaten. I will restore, saith the Lord. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You shall praise the name of the Lord your God. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And I am in the midst of my people. And my people shall never be ashamed. Father, we thank you for the word of promise that you have given us today, that you will restore unto us that which the enemy has taken from us. And that we shall recover all. Hallelujah. David recovered all and then some. I pray for everyone that's in the room on here today. We've all lost something. Everybody that's in here today has lost something. Otherwise, this message would not be here. You have lost something that the Lord said, I will give it back to you in good measure, even beyond what you lost. Job lost a lot of things, and at the end, the Lord gave him back double. Praise the Lord. Double for your trouble, saith the Lord. Now, I come against all of the bands of wickedness. I come against the heavy burdens in the name of the Lord. And I come against oppression and oppressing spirits. And I come against every evil yoke that the enemy have put upon the people. Because the Lord said, is this not the fast that I have chosen to break these four things? And now today, let the bands of wickedness be broken. You know, let all the heavy burdens be undone in the name of Jesus. Heavy burdens that the devil put upon the people of God, let them be undone. Ha! Hallelujah. We command every oppression and oppressing spirit, let their power be broken in Jesus' name. I invoke the breaker's anointing on here this morning. The Lord said to Zechariah, what do you see? He said, well, I see four horns. He said, look again. What do you see? He said, well, I see four carpenters. Hallelujah. And they're going to pummel down those horns. So what did the horns do? Lord said, well, these are the horns that have battered down my people. But these carpenters are coming with the carpenter's anointing to break those horns in the name of Jesus. And those horns are the bands of wickedness, number one. Number two, they are the heavy burdens. Number three, they are the oppression and the oppressing spirits. And number four, they are the evil yokes that the enemy has put upon God's people. But there is a breaker anointing here. The anointing of the carpenters to break, pummel, and push back those things. And the word of the Lord to come to pass, to bring restoration in your life, in Jesus' name. Now, raise your hands up and praise the Lord where you are. I believe with all my heart that God has done and will do what he promised. For his own name's sake, his name is at stake here. Now, Lord, remember that these are your people. And they are called by your name. And your name is at stake. For the welfare of these people is a reflection upon your kingdom. Therefore, Lord, watch over thy word which we have spoken here this morning. Hallelujah. One time, the prophet Elijah, he said, if I be a man of God, let their fire come down from heaven and consume all the works of the devil. Lord, if I have spoken thy word here this morning, now let thy fire now break out upon thy people and consume all negative things that the devil have put upon them in the name of Jesus, and bring the power of restoration, the power of recovery into their lives. And the Lord said, look from the place where you are. Hallelujah. Look all around you for everything that you can see. Glory to God. You got to increase your faith horizon. If you can see, the Lord said, now I will give it to you. Can you see that new job? Hallelujah. Can you see yourself walking down the aisle, etc.? Praise God. Can you see the recovery? Can you see the man coming out of the ICU unit? Can you see it? Can you see recovery from all the infection and everything that they may be saying? Can you see it? I can see it, Lord. I see it. The Lord asked the prophet, what do you see? He said, well, I see a basket of an almond tree. Well, what do you see again? Well, what do you see? Well, I see that brother rising out of that ICU unit, coming out of there in the name of Jesus. I see him recover. I see him coming back to his own place. God, the Lord said, I will restore. Hallelujah. And full recovery in the name of Jesus. What else do you see? Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you now. What do you see? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit in John 16 and 13, he will show you things that are to come. What have you seen in the realm of the spirit concerning your situation? What do you see? Praise God. The Holy Spirit will show you the victory ahead. Hallelujah. And you get in with the Lord and you believe the Lord. And let's see what the Lord will do. And you begin to praise the Lord, even ahead of physically receiving the promise. You praise the Lord because the Lord has said so and his word. The Lord spoke. Hallelujah. He spoke. And it is done. He commanded. And it stood fast. The Lord has commanded also the dew of heaven for you upon all that you do, that it will cause for you a bountiful harvest in your due season. Praise the Lord. Yes, I command the dew of heaven upon your hands in the name of Jesus, upon all that you do. Hallelujah. And the Lord will cause you to have a bountiful harvest in your due season. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, even your tears of faith, you will doubtless come again. The bountiful harvest, bringing in the sheaves, a harvesting of joy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.